Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We are the loving church with Jesus at heart. Ni hao ma. Welcome, visitors. Welcome cards are located in the seat back in front of you. Please fill in the card, place it in the offering plate. Prayer request cards are here as well. If you have a need, please let us know by completing the card and placing it in the offering plate. Today, we have two of Shen's college roommates here. Shen, would you stand and introduce them? One is from Canada and one from China. And from Canada. Well, welcome, welcome. We're so very glad to have you here on this special Epiphany Service Day. Thank you. Today we will be visited by the Magi who will bring gifts for Jesus. We will also bring forward our gifts for Acts, that being the jellies and the syrups. Good morning. We will meet next Saturday, the 11th, for all church day. Breakfast at 8 o'clock, followed by undecorating the church, followed by the joint elder deacons meeting, followed by training for the new deacons. See your bulletin for times. The Acts donation for this month is peanut butter. Please notice in your bulletin a list of additional activities this week. Are there any other announcements at this time? Yes, sir. Okay. All righty. We're going to do our call to worship. That's in your program. Please stand for the call to worship. Blessings to God who gives hope in the darkness of our lives. Blessings to the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be a light to others. Amen. Let's remain standing and open our hymnal, and your hymnal is under your seat if you're new here, to page 172, We Three Kings. During the singing of the hymn, the wise ones will come forward. At the pastor's direction, the congregation will bring forward their gifts for Acts and place them in the two baskets over here. Of Orient are bearing gifts, we come from afar.
Please come forward with your gifts.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your gifts, and you may be seated. Let us pray. Loving and receptive God, creator of a Bethlehem birth and sustainer of the whole human family, we come to you seeking to be wise women and wise men. Like the gifts of those travelers long ago, may our gifts, especially these special gifts of peanut butter, syrup, and jelly, be a sign that wisdom is marked by an offering of self and substance to Christ, your Son. Like the wise men who followed, we follow today to worship you. Hear us now as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our praise by remaining seated and singing hymn number 115. There's something about that name. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone today. And I wish, if you before you leave today, I want you to come by and look at the bounty. It just touches my spirit to see that. And it takes me back to the day I was at Acts and we saw where the jellies and the syrups were. And it was kind of sparse. So this will be very well received when it gets to Acts. So I want to thank every one of you. And if you didn't get the word and you weren't able to give, you can give any Sunday. You can bring, they're always taking syrup and jelly. This month is peanut butter, but it's hard to have a peanut butter sandwich without jelly. So when you bring your peanut butter, just bring a jar of jelly too. So we come now to our times of prayer. We have Thanksgiving to Paulette. She's not here today, but for repainting the Disciple House sign, and for Don Pruitt for charging her dead battery last week. Elsie's dead battery. Okay. And then Charlotte had a dead battery last time you were at church, so. All right. On our prayer concerns, Barbara Kring, our country, fires in Australia, Joni Perkins, and Ida and Chuck Bassey. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes, June?
My daughter, Carly Beth, a friend of hers at college, his name is Jameson, I'm not sure of his last name, but his family's house was burned to the ground. Mm-hmm. He's from Australia.
Oh.
Oh,
wow. makes the world a smaller place, you know, when you tie something that far away with people that we know here. Any others? Yes, Buzz.
On the internet, I saw a picture of Australia, and it's like a ring of fire. Mm. All around the whole outside, it's all burning. Mm. It gives you a different perspective rather than hearing. Yeah. Oh, there's a fire in Australia.
Yeah. Our coffee pot, this is not a prayer request, this is just a note. It could be a prayer request. Our coffee pot died this morning, and before I got any coffee. And so when I went through McDonald's to get some coffee, I spilled it over all over my sermon and my notes. So, but it's all right. So if you see brown spots up here, it's okay. All right, let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for the generosity of this church, for their care and concern of living out the gospel by doing for others. We ask again your blessing on these gifts of jelly and jam and syrup and peanut butter. Gifts that are easy to give, but gifts that make such a difference to those who will receive them. Dear God, we ask today that you hear our concerns. We pray for Barbara. We pray for our family and the families of people in Australia with fires, including Jameson and being separated from his family during this time. We pray for Joni and for Ida and Chuck and Sally. Dear God, we give you thanks for our country, and yet we pray for us during this very tender time. We pray for our leaders who are making decisions for our own safety and for the safety of others. We pray for our world leaders. Dear God, we pray for the military who will be deployed. And dear God, we pray for their families and for the sacrifice that they give for our nation and for our own freedom. Dear God, we pray for the people in West Pokot, Kenya, as they continue to recover from their mudslides. We pray for people like Terry Wilder in Swansea, South Carolina, who cares for them and loves them and is seeking to go back to see them very soon. Dear God, we pray for Acts. We pray for the ministry that they do in this community. We give you thanks for the volunteers from our church that help Acts be what it is. We pray for their leader, Suzanne, and for all the people that work there. We pray for the clients that come to seek resources, and we pray that your spirit and your love permeates everything that is done for them. Dear God, we pray for churches today. We pray for churches in our country and around the world, of all faiths, all denominations, and all sizes. We pray that worship will be safe, that people will be able to worship you without having to give too much mind to their safety. We pray for those that are caught in a crisis that they can think clearly and use the resources that you have given them to know how to keep themselves safe. Dear God, we pray for this congregation as we enter into a new year of serving you. We give you thanks for those who are elected to new deacon roles and the training that they will receive this week. We pray for our church as we share the load. In a small church, the load is heavy, and we pray for all who help carry it. To God, we give you thanks that Curtis is back with us today. We ask you to continue to heal him and heal Shelvia so that they can come and worship together. We give you thanks that Eliza is with us. We pray for all who are continuing to heal, that your healing mercy will be with them. Dear God, we also pray for your forgiveness where we have wronged each other, where we have wronged you and our neighbor, and where we have wronged ourselves. Give us courage to grant forgiveness and to receive it, and to move into restored relationships. Dear God, we ask your blessing as we continue to worship, in the songs we sing, the scripture we hear, and the words we share. In your holy name we pray.
Thank you.
Today is Epiphany Sunday, and we celebrate it by having the three wise men come and be with us, one wise woman among the men. But we appreciate that. We thank them for their service, yes. As we think about the gifts that come with honored Christ, we also are reminded of the gifts that come from Christ, the number one being his love and his life and his death for us and his resurrection. We celebrate that most through communion. So if you are able to stand, if not, please sing anyway hymn number 386, our communion hymn, "We Come as Guests Invited." About the one loaf and the one cup. And the one loaf represents that when Jesus, the night before he died, when he was with his disciples and he took bread and he broke it and he said to them, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hear now the prayer for the cup.
Bread.
All of jelly with that?
For the cup. Okay, for the bread then. Heavenly Father, as we gather here at your table to participate in Holy Communion, let us remember that this bread represents your Son's broken body. Even as he was dying in agony on the cross, he loved us enough to ask you to forgive us of our sins, past, present, and future. Help us to live out each and every day of our lives to give meaning to that great sacrifice. We accept now as your covenant of love, as our gift to receive, and our responsibility to share. Amen.
I think we ought to get a picture of the Magi and the pastor.
The body of Christ broken for you. We sang also about the one cup. And after supper, Jesus took the cup and also gave thanks for it and told them, "Drink this. This is a sign of the new covenant in me. This is my blood that will be poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins."
Pour the cup, the blood of Jesus that he gave for us for our forgiveness of our sins, for his Father who sent his Son to take our sins away. Let this day be the start of our new lives with renewed forgiveness of sin, and that our lives may reflect what Christ wants them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. And now let us worship God through our continued giving. Gracious God, we offer these gifts to you. We ask your blessing on them and on their use. We also ask your blessing on each giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please join me in standing and singing the doxology if you're able. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. visit of the Magi, Matthew 2, chapters 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Maria. Now, if y'all can't hear me, don't wait 3 weeks to tell me. Do this, and I'll know that you can't hear, because then I'll speak up a little louder or adjust my mic or wave real hard at Scott. William Sidney Porter was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, on September 11th, 1862. Now, that name might not ring a bell with you, but you probably know him by his pen name of O. Henry. After living in North Carolina and then moving out to Texas and then spending some time in prison and getting his life back in order, he ended up in New York City and became a writer. In 1905, while sitting at a neighborhood bar, which was apparently right across from his New York City apartment, writing under a very tight deadline, the courier was waiting while he wrote to take the story in to be printed. In a short 2-hour quick time, he wrote a Christmas story titled Gifts of the Magi. The title was later changed to how you and I know it, The Gift of the Magi, but the story remained the same. In this story, a young, poor married couple named Della and Jim, very much in love with each other, were facing Christmas with no extra money to buy presents for each other. Della had managed to save up $1.87, 60 of it in pennies for where she had negotiated or haggled with the grocer over time and stored it up, trying to have enough for Christmas. Their love for each other was really their best present, and they demonstrated sacrificial giving by each giving up their prized possession to buy a gift for the other. Della, who had long, beautiful hair past her waist, sold her hair for $20 and bought Jim a beautiful chain for his watch, a pocket watch that he had received from his grandfather. She then spent the $1.67 on special chops for supper. Later that night, as she waited for Jim to get home, she worried if he would love her as much without her hair. She curled it and fixed it and did the best she could. And when he got home, she quickly confessed to him what she had done, and she gave him the watch chain. She was equally surprised to find out that he had sold his watch to buy her presents, combs for the beautiful hair. Their lovely gifts, sacrificially given, were really useless. As they realized what they had done for each other and the cost and how much they had wanted to give and yet how it did not work, Jim said, "Let's put these gifts away for now and cook the chops for dinner. There was no crying over spilt milk or cut hair or sold watches, so to speak. There was no woulda, coulda, shoulda, just an unspoken acceptance of the gifts of love that had already been exchanged. Now, their story ends there, but the story that O. Henry wrote does not. He ends it with a paragraph that ties the story to the title. He says, "The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Oh, all who give and receive gifts, such as they are wisest. They are the Magi." Now today we celebrate the original Magi. We know them through the hymn we sang earlier. "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar." The Gospel of Matthew that Maria read tells us their story from the beginning of how they decided to go, to going to see King Herod to inquire about where this new king was. And that was a mistake, because even though it was helpful to them and probably respectful when you think about it, one king going into another king's territory probably has some political things of having to check in, and instead it created all kinds of havoc for all the Jewish children that were born about the time of Jesus. And also, as we'll learn later in the gospel, Mary and Joseph and Jesus had to move to Egypt to avoid the death slaughter that took place. But after they left Herod, the Magi had to follow the star to get to where Jesus was. Now, even though the hymn and O. Henry and most nativity scenes have them coming to Jesus in the manger, it's probably not that way. Jesus was probably about 1 year old by the time they got there, and it's unlikely they were still in that barn. Instead, but Matthew isn't worried about that. Matthew didn't care how long it took them. He really didn't care how old the Christ child was, nor where they found them. The point that Matthew was trying to make was that Jesus, even though he was born in a Jewish family as King of the Jews, that from the get-go, he was not just for the Jewish people, and that he would be honored and worshiped by all people. So the three wise ones in Matthew come bearing gifts that are typical of what gifts you would have given to a king then. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In that time, the gold symbolized royalty. Frankincense symbolized divinity. And myrrh, which was actually an embalming spice to take care of the dead, symbolized humanity. These three intentionally chosen gifts revealed thoughtfulness and an awareness of not only who they were going to be for, but why each gift was given. Signs of good gift giving of very precious gifts. I saw a cartoon one time where instead of the three wise men bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it was actually three wise women who showed up. And I can't remember all that they had brought, but I remember one of them was a casserole. And it had him talking about that if the women had showed up, they would have brought stuff that Mary could have actually used. And it does seem that gold, frankincense, and myrrh are very unlikely gifts to give a poor family, a family that other people did not see them as royal at all. But if you look at the symbolism, these gifts make a lot of sense. In some ways, these gifts were as possibly as useless to Mary as the combs and watch chain were to Jim and Della. But the intentionality behind them were expressions of the same kind of love and admiration. When the wise men arrived and presented the gifts, it was a holy moment for them. They worshiped the child. Rather than go back and report to King Herod about where they had actually found the child, they were warned in a dream to go home a different way. So they did. I would love to know how that impacted Mary and Joseph to see these people have traveled so far to worship her child. For Matthew, it was this recognition of the Christ child by non-Jewish leaders that was the most significant part of the story. So we have three kings bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We have a young couple giving gifts that could only be bought after they had sacrificed their own personal prized possession. We have our gifts this morning of syrup and jelly, gifts we have brought in Christ's name to honor him by helping to feed the poor right here where we live. And then we have the summary of O. Henry saying that rather than focus on their foolishness, focus on their wisdom. All who give gifts, they are the wisest. Now, these stories caused me to do some personal reflection and think about what kind of sacrificial giver am I? Now, I enjoyed buying gifts for my family, but I actually had a Christmas budget. Now, I can't look at Ed while I say that because, because I did not stick to that budget, but I had a budget. And unlike Della, I didn't have to sell my hair or I didn't have to pinch pennies. I actually had the convenience of a Christmas club account that every month the credit union would take money away from me and put it over somewhere else. I also, like you, enjoyed buying the syrup and jelly for Acts, knowing that the need that those gifts would fill. But to be honest, it wasn't sacrificial. Jelly and syrup were buy one, get one free this week at Bilo. But what does that mean about who we are as gift givers? O. Henry and Matthew show us something about what it means to be a sacrificial giver. In our gospel lesson, in addition to the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three magi gave the sacrificial gift of their time. Now, I don't know them, and I don't know what was going on in their lives or what they had planned before they saw that star, but they chose to stop whatever that was and take the time out of their life to follow that star. I imagine that that was a pretty long trip, and it helped them not only find this Christ child that they could worship, but I imagine in the process of the journey, they gave something to themselves. When we give sacrificially, it's not just tangible gifts. It's gifts of time, of spirit, of mood. Think about this church and all the sacrificial gifts, not just that show up in the offering plate, but the gifts of time. When we gather to worship, people have cleaned this sanctuary, they have prepared communion, they have practiced for the choir, they have made sure the building is secure. Sacrificial gift of time. Today is called Epiphany Sunday. Now, the Christian church celebrates it about the wise men, but Epiphany means the manifestation of Christ to the non-Jews. It's represented by the Magi coming and by the story in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. But it can also mean a manifestation of a divine or a supernatural being, or it can mean a moment of sudden revelation or insight. We call those ahas. And one of the gifts that we receive from God is the ability to have our own manifestation of Christ. We get to have those aha moments when we come face to face with Christ. It might be Christ the child. It might be the Christ on the cross. It might be the Christ teaching the disciples. each of us get all of those images of Christ for us to have as our own aha. And sometimes we, like the Magi, are on a journey that we hadn't planned to be on. We've taken a turn because we're following something that we don't quite understand. And then when we get, like they did to the Christ child, when we get to our own spiritual breakthrough, it's an unexpected gift from God. And sometimes our sacrificial giving is like giving up something like Jim and Della did, something that we have held on to forever and think we can't live without, and later to find out that wasn't as important as we thought. Now, we don't know the rest of the story in either case. I would love to know about the three wise men when they went home. I would love to know how they were different, what they learned about themselves on this process, what they learned about each other, and what they learned about God. And wouldn't you love to know about Jim and Della? I'd love to know if he got his watch back. I'd love to know if she grew her hair back. Or maybe, just maybe, she discovered a freedom and a beauty that she had more to offer than just hair. Lots of questions about how life plays out. And yet there's wisdom in what seems like a foolish statement that Jim said, "Let's just cook the chops for dinner." Living in the moment. Having chops for dinner. Being where we are, when we are, and being open to being both a receiver of gifts and a giver of gifts. Being open to our own times of epiphany, our own spiritual breakthroughs, when and where we encounter the holiness of Christ in our daily lives. I decided to close this sermon by where we started worship with the very same prayer that I prayed at the beginning. Hear these words. Loving and receptive God, creator of a Bethlehem birth and sustainer of the whole human family, we come to you seeking to be wise women and wise men. Like the gifts of those travelers long ago, may our gifts be a sign that wisdom is marked by an offering of self and substance to the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 340, Softly and Tenderly. Our explanation of the invitation is in the bulletin, and I will be at the front. Please stand if you're able, hymn number 340.
Thank you.
Before I offer the benediction, I want to ask if our three wise ones would come forward with your costume so that we can take a picture of y'all and the bounty so we can share the picture with Acts as well. Okay. So hear now the benediction. May God bless you as you follow stars, as you follow dreams, and as you seek him wherever he leads you, being courageous and taking the gifts that you possess. Amen. Our going forth song is 354, Seek Ye First.